Now, I said that rubber then was an example of a thermosetting plastic. The way that it forms is we cross-branch between the chains. The guy that developed this was Goodyear back in 1839, so you can see Goodyear tyres have been around for a good long period of time now. The process is called vulcanisation, and it takes the original polymer, which is an additional polymer called cis polyisoprene, so you saw that isoprene polymerising in the first slide on polymers, and it then cross-links it using sulphur, about 5%, into rubber. So there is the polyisoprene, and you then take the sulphur and introduce the cross-links. So in yellow, or gold colour, there's your cross-links with the sulphur atoms joining one chain to the next. So that then takes that material, makes it resilient and stable, whereas the original polyisoprene was soft and quite reactive. An example of a plasticizer are these phthalate esters. Now, the characteristics of the polymer have to be carefully controlled so that you get the properties that you want. If you take your average plastic drink bottle, for instance, it needs to be soft enough to form into the original shape, a little bit flexible so that if you whack it into another drink bottle, it doesn't shatter. So the molecules they put into the plastic to give it that amount of flexibility are called plasticizers. So as you can see, they're not related to the polymer at all. They're added in very small quantities, and if your plastic loses its plasticizer, then it will become quite brittle. So I've got some old drink bottles at home that I use for collecting water in, and they're now many years old. And the person in that cans water said to me when they saw them, they said, "My God, you're going to shatter those one day," because these are big bottles. They take 10 litres at a time. He said, "What will happen? You will put them down on the ground one day and you'll lose all 10 litres in a second, because they'll become that brittle that the plasticizer's all long gone." So the other thing, if you're ever doing any analytical work, if you ever use plastic, the plasticizers are extremely hard to get rid of. So we had a analytical chemist at Otago when I was going through doing honours. He was struggling with the fact that everything that he seemed to touch had these plasticizers in them, because you know, only needs to go near a piece of plastic and the plasticizer leaked out of it. So these are very common compounds out there in the environment these days. Other examples, PVC, you know, well, a pipe, but if you think of your rubber gummies, they're actually made from PVC, not from rubber these days. They simply dump a load of plasticizer in it, then makes it more chemically resistant because they're using PVC rather than rubber, and it's a plasticizer that ensures it gives you the flexibility that you would expect from rubber. Copolymers. These ones are formed then from two different monomers. So nylon 66 was the example we saw, where we'd taken adipic acid as one monomer, hexamethylene diamine as the other monomer, and so that final polymer then is a copolymer. Now, this whole topic, you can see, it's just full of great stuff for multi-choice. You know, which one of the following might be a copolymer?